Let's head to Taranaki now, though. Robin Martin is with RNZ, based in Taranaki. Kia ora, Robin.
Kia ora, Catherine. How are you doing?
Really good, thanks. I'm excited to hear about the world premiere of a New Zealand feature film featuring one of our most beloved actors, but in a different role.
Yeah, that's right. I don't get to step out on the red carpet all that often, as you can perhaps imagine, Catherine, but on Tuesday night, New Plymouth saw the world premiere of The Mountain down at the TSB showplace, and I was invited down along and got to meet the key members of the cast and some of the crew. Now, the director in this case is Rachel House, who's more well-known to people as an actor, usually in a kind of a comical sense, if I'm correct, especially in Hunt for the Wilder People. She also appeared in Boy and Whale Rider. Now, as I've learned through talking, I mean, talked to Rachel down on the in the press pack down there, she's done quite a lot of work, directing work for advertisements and short films, and has been an acting coach on in other productions which involve children, because this film involves three very young people, Elizabeth Atkinson, Reuben Francis, and Terence Daniel, otherwise known as Ted. And Rachel, you know, worked with these young people, and she's done a great job. Everyone was kind of wrapped. But here's her talking, here's Rachel talking about some of the challenges these young people faced in the film.
There's some, you know, big issues that the kids handle with absolute aplomb, that kids often do, actually, those very difficult challenges. But it's about, I think, very much so, it's about friendship and how important friendship is, and, of course, our beautiful Maunga.
Wonderful stuff. So a big event, of course, as well for the kids, but also for the district.
Yeah. So, the film is kind of like a heartfelt drama. It follows these three kids, one of whom is not very well, and all of them have got these challenges, as Rachel kind of alludes to, and you know, they're on a journey. It's not one of those kind of films. You know, they're on a journey. They're on a journey of healing. And in the movie, the, you know, Taranaki Maunga plays a huge part in that. Rachel House's Ngāti Mutunga, Te Atiawa, and Kaitahu. So two of her iwi affiliations are from Taranaki. And when she first came in contact with Tom Furness's a story, which she is in, it kind of adapted. They've co-written The Mountain. She realized that giving that mountain in his story the identity of Taranaki was what she could bring to it. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing. I mean, I was down there, but I was like scurried off to the office to write something up for the next day, so I haven't seen the film yet. But I think there's going to be a lot of learning for people about Taranaki Maunga. And oh man, you know, the feedback I've heard from people who were in the auditorium, there's like 800 people in the show palace. Many, wow. many representatives of Ngā Iwi or Taranaki, the eight iwi from around here, hugely proud to see their stories reflected on the big screen.
Very safe hands too. On general release, I understand, from the 28th of March, The Mountain. Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Now, the seabed mining hearings have resumed. Just remind us of who is seeking consent and what they want to mine, Robin.
Yes. Okay. So that's Trans-Tasman Resources. They've been banging away at this one for more than a decade, I think it is now. They've now been subsumed into a bigger organisation called Manuka Resources out of Australia. They're both out of Australia. They want to mine the seabed off the coast of Partia. They want to scrape up essentially 50-odd million tonnes of seabed a year, placing the vast majority of it back down on the sea floor after extracting iron, titanium, and vanadium, which I think is an element in batteries. They believe they can do that safely for the environment, and in doing so create a billion-dollar a year industry with hundreds of millions of dollars returning to New Zealand royalties. Kiwis Against Seabed Mining, Greenpeace, Ngāti Rua Nui, and other iwi in South Taranaki think the technology is is not there yet, and they worry about environmental damage. So this has been, obviously you've heard of this before, it's been through the application process before, been declined, then approved, and then challenged in the courts all the way up to the Supreme Court, which kept the consents quashed but said that the EPA should have another look at it, and here we are. So last week they started the first of 3 2-day hearings. They'll be back next month and in May. And essentially they're starting the process all over again. So we heard from the company setting out their position, and then later in the week from some of the environmental groups. A lot of the evidence from the company is very similar to what they presented earlier. The burden of them is to prove that there will be no material harm. That seems to be the benchmark that the Supreme Court has set in sending it back to the EPA. There were protests out there, not huge, 100-odd people outside the hub in Hawera. Alan Eggers, the chairman of Trans-Tasman Resources, didn't attend in person, but made himself available over the phone because he basically had to, rebut some of the claims from people on that picket line, that protest line. He's saying it is safe. It's going to have a huge economic boost. And, of course, hanging in the back of all this is the fast-track legislation that's going through Parliament. And probably the news of the first day of the hearings when I was there was that Shane Jones, who's going to be one of these super ministers, for want of a better description, he has recused himself from any decision making on the seabed mining, which was kind of curious because earlier on he was describing Ngāti Rūnui as some kind of pixie like hapū standing in the way of progress. But then, there was a little bird in my ear telling me that he has, had a relationship with Tally's, the fishing company, and the fishing industry is not in favour of seabed mining because of the potential impact on them.
All right. So yeah, you're hearing lots of things. The hearing itself, of course, is underway. You'll keep us posted. Could you just bring us up to date on the Taranaki Crossing project, please?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Taranaki Crossing Project is a quite ambitious project on Taranaki Maunga, basically leveraging off tracks that already exist on there. So eventually, when it's all complete, Taranaki Crossing will traverse from Dawson Falls in the south of Taranaki Maunga through the Maunganui ski field, through Stratford kind of area, round to North Egmont, exiting at Mangere Road in the Pauakai Ranges. It's got about $13.4 million of funding from Kanoa, so the Regional Development Fund. This was actually one of Shane Jones's projects back in the day. And this suspension bridge is a $1.2 million project over the Maunganui Gorge, which is by the Maunganui Ski Field, Stratford Plateau area. It's vulnerable to avalanches in winter, which will sometimes close the Wee Club ski field should it be open in the first place, and it's also vulnerable to lahars. So it's seen as a weak point in the 20-odd 1 kilometres of the eventual crossing. So they've decided to build a suspension bridge there. I went up, visited it the other day. Amazing kind of project. Builders essentially working from abseil ropes, stringing a they put in the mast. And now they string cables across and will build the bridge on these cables. And it's going to be it'll be quite beautiful, Catherine. We'll be one of those kind of bridges, arching across 110 metres long, a couple of metres wide enough for two people carrying equipment to pass one another, 50-odd metres off the ground. But beyond that safety, Gareth Hopkins, the operations manager for Taranaki's dock office, he said that he reckons this project's got more about it than just safety, and you can hear from him now.
This gorge is prone to avalanches. It's prone to lahars coming down. It's not safe. So this is a great way of providing safe passage over the gorge. But at the same time, it's a bit of a It's a bit of a statement, right? I think it'll be more than just safe passage. I think it'll be a destination. People will come to see the bridge because of its uniqueness.
So what they're hoping there, Catherine, is it becomes like, you know, across on Pauakai, we have the Taranaki Tarns where people climb often slightly underwhelmed because they're like big puddles rather than lakes, but they make beautiful photos with the mirror reflection of Mount Taranaki on a fine day. That's a definite location in the national park. And Te Rerorewa Bridge down here in town has become a destination as well. Okay, they're great Instagram moments. And I think this bridge, the hope is that this bridge will be one of those.
Very good. And just quickly to finish, a new report just landing on offshore renewable energy in Taranaki. What's the bullet point, Robin?
Yeah, well, PwC have done this report for a whole bunch of energy companies and infrastructure companies that have a stake in the development of offshore wind energy here. $50 billion boost to the GDP by 2050, 10,000 jobs, 2,000 of them or 2,000 more in 10,000 in the build phase, 2,000 more in the operational phase. They say this report just proves how important offshore wind is going to be to New Zealand meeting its net zero emissions goals. And another kind of interesting factor in this, in relation to what we've just been speaking about or just earlier, is that it may just not be compatible with seabed mining because they want to be out in the same patch of ocean. And, of course, they want to lay cables back to terra firma to get that electricity back.